You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is John West here, and I'm telling you, Knockout to Three Counts is the podcast, baby. Make sure that's the one you check out, because, buddy, like me, they're the real deal, baby.
Hey, Ken, make sure you share out the thing, too.
What am I doing?
You know,
share the video.
Three counts where you see that damn snake again.
Hold on. It's already live on the Facebook page?
Yep.
This is the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, a.k.a. Shane T. Boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy. And you're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
What up, though, everybody? This is Kyle, and you are watching Knockouts and Three Counts. And we've got a very special guest tonight. We're bringing you Ken Brass. We're going to be talking all things. We're going to be talking all things All Elite Wrestling tonight. So check this out. And Dev, go out, throw your social media.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Devin63. That's DevinT63. You can find me on Instagram at AllState No Sizzle. That's one word. And make sure you join the Reality Era News group on Facebook where we talk wrestling. Of course, talking about Double or Nothing that happened this past week. We're talking about Chad Gaspar. A lot of stuff going on in the wrestling business. So make sure you join the group.
Well, we've got the return of our guest, Ken Brass, who was on with us for the prediction video for Double or Nothing, which you can find at our YouTube, Knockouts and Three Counts. Well, Ken, welcome back. Thanks for doing your picks with us, brother man. And throw out your social medias. Let everybody know where they can find you. Ken, you there?
Did we lose him? Either he's taking a nap right now or we just lost him.
Yeah, Ken's frozen. So, Dev, let's go with you. First of all, give me your overall thoughts on Double or Nothing.
You want my overall thoughts already?
Well, I mean, just what'd you think of the show as a whole? You ain't got to go into detail with it, but.
Wait, I think Ken's back. Ken, you there?
Yeah, can you see me? Hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man.
He's alive!
Make sure you go ahead and throw out your social medias and anything you got going on, brother.
Okay. Well, this is Ken Brass. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Brasshole81, BrassHole81, all of that. You can find me. I'm crazy. I post crazy stuff. Don't be a crybaby and follow me.
Man. All right. Hey, So since you're our guest, Ken, I'm going to throw this question to you. I had just sent it to Devin, but overall, you know, what did you think of the show as a whole? Did you like the show? And if so, what would you rate it?
No, I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I would say for rating, if we're going like out of five, no, stars or whatever, since that's kind of common wrestling term, no, wrestling rating, I would say I'll give it like a four stars. Solid show. I really didn't have anything really to complain about, honestly. It was just a good show. AEW did it again.
Kyle?
I mean,
your thoughts.
So how are you going to go to me when I'm sharing the show out, you jerk? Anyways.
Yeah, I'm supposed to know you were sharing the show out. My bad, man.
Well, I'm looking down, but anyways, I enjoyed the show overall. For me, my only issue with the show is something we've talked about a little bit more frequently when we talk about AEW, and I'll pose this question to both of you guys. My only real issue with the show was that I feel like there were some things that they try sometimes that just don't come off well, I guess. Like, I mean, everybody screws up spots and matches, but there's some things where shit just seems like super out of place. Case in point, like when Darby Allin went to go do the spot out to the side of the ring and hit the ladder, and the ladder just like completely, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You could tell that was not how that shit was supposed to go, you know? And I mean, granted, that happens in a match. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that I expect there to be no mess ups, but sometimes it just seems like shit seems out of place. Or like when Frankie Kazarian went for the Hurricane Rana and just it completely like fell apart. So like just little shit like that. But other than that, as far as the show as a whole, I liked it. But my biggest gripe would be I think that they need more direction with the women's division.
Okay, yeah. let me go ahead and jump in on this one. My overall thoughts on the show, and Kyle, you're probably going to be surprised. I did not like this show, man. This is like
the audible.
I like the Stadium Stampede match, and I did like the Women's Championship match. And MJF and Jungle Boy, I thought that was the best match of the night. If you're talking about pure matches, I thought that was the best one. But everything else was just kind of, you know, it was just there. There was a lot of mistakes. Mike Tyson started yawning in the middle of the show at one point. I don't know if y'all caught that one. Honestly, this was of the pay-per-views they've done so far. I thought this was the worst one. Now, it could have been part of the fact that the crowd wasn't there. That might have added to it too. But there's a lot of mistakes going on. It was some people that I wanted to see wrestle that didn't wrestle because of them doing way too much on Dynamite the week before, like Ray Phoenix and Britt Baker. So I would give it like a – if we're going by 5 stars, I'd probably give it like a 2.5.
Ouch. Wow, he went like hard though.
You just went mad rapper on the Double or Nothing show, man. Tell him why you mad, son.
I was disappointed. I was disappointed, man. Like I was losing interest, especially early on. Like I said, the MJF and Jungle Boy match was good, and like everything else was just kind of meh. The Stadium Stampede match, they started to lose me at first, but then once it got to some of the pre-tape parts of that match, it brought me back in. But so I'll give it a 2.5.
All right. So as a whole, man, I thought, like, I enjoyed the Stadium Stampede match. That I, to be honest, if you want my honest thoughts, I really at first was kind of like, yo, this is kind of corny. And then, yeah, like, then as I got into it and I kind of just was like, well, fuck it. I didn't know what really to expect with it. Then once they started getting more into it, like you said, then I got more into it. For me, man, like I said, my reasoning behind what I say with the women's matches, right? So I say that because not even that Nyla Rose versus Sheeta was a bad match, or, you know, the Statlander match either. But, like, it just seems like there's no – it seems like they haven't done much to make me realize what, or give me a reason to be like, why I want to see them fight. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of just almost seems like it's there, even if it's just, even if it is the women's title match. I mean, that's just kind of the feel I had for the women's matches on this card. I mean, Ken, what are your thoughts?
I mean, honestly, only, I guess, if I got to get a gripe about the women's matches, I felt Nyla shouldn't have lost yet. Like, I feel like if you're going to make her this big badass heel, she needed a little bit of a run. Like, she needed a run where she just really just destroyed people. Like, I think that would have been a perfect opportunity for a squash match, honestly. That was my thoughts. It should have been
a squash. But squash she did, though?
Yeah. I mean, people get squashed and come back. People get squashed every day, B.
They don't really But the only thing is, though, they don't really have a lot of people to really, like, you know what I'm saying? They don't really have a lot of people to really.
They got people. They're just not using them.
They don't have anybody really built up. And that's my point. There's really no emphasis on that division. Let's talk about another big thing that happened with Double or Nothing. Devin, you're probably going to have plenty to say about this as well. Ken, what are your thoughts on the debut of Brian Cage and your thoughts on them putting Taz with him?
Meh. it's not like I don't dislike Brian Cage. It was just, I don't know if I expected more. I had a higher expectation. I don't know what it was, but my initial reaction was like, eh. But then as I started to rethink about Brian Cage, his ability, his matches in the past, and I was like, oh, okay, this can work, and I can see, you know, him with Taz. No, I can see it going places. Like, no, he needs a mouthpiece. And like I said, so Taz with them, that's a good place. But as far as winning that particular match is my gripe. To me, it should have been Scorpio Sky, as I said in my prediction video. Like, y'all did vignettes on this man as a single star. He can go, obviously. Him and Jericho opened on a classic, what, a couple months ago? What was that, that first couple like Dynamite episodes? I forget it was, like maybe the second or third one. Yeah. You know, him and Jericho put on a clinic. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, the man can go. You know what I'm saying? And I figured I would leave more, you know, I just figured this is time. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Dev, I mean, what about you, man? I know you're a Taz guy, so what do you think of him being put with Brian Cage?
It was funny, after we did our predictions, I was sitting there thinking about it, like, man, what if Brian Cage is that TBA, that to-be-announced person, man? And then, sure enough, it was him. I understood what they were trying to do in this match. Basically, they were trying to tell, if you remember, Taz had been trying to kind of recruit or, you know, mentor Darby Allin for a while. Mm-hmm. And Darby Allin kept blowing him off. So that's why Taz partnered up with Brian Cage, and Brian Cage destroyed Darby Allin at the end. But part of the problem was a lot of that story was told on AEW Dark. So if you don't watch Dark, you kind of missed it, you know. On this, the past week's episode of Dark, he was talking to Excalibur, and he was basically saying to Excalibur, like, hey, don't you think this Darby Allin kid is a little disrespectful? You know, I'm just trying to help the kid out and stuff like that. So they were telling the story. It's just that they didn't do it in front of a big enough audience, so some people might have missed that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it could be good for Brian Cage. I'm interested in seeing where this goes. Hopefully it doesn't fizzle out like Samoa Joe and Taz did. But I'm interested. I just thought that ladder match, man, it was okay.
It was clunky, man. Yeah. It was clunky. It just had like that was my point when I was saying like it kind of felt off, because like it kind of felt like we'll just fight spot, fucking throw some shit around spot, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the guy that was supposed to start in that match was out of it, because that match was made for Ray Phoenix is one of the most amazing people, yeah, you know, in the ring I've ever seen. And that match was made for him, but they, you know, wasted him doing that dive and getting hurt on Dynamite.
Man, if only I could find it right now. I don't know if it got here yet, but if I don't have it here this week, next week, I'm going to wear it. But it's funny you bring up Phoenix, because when I go to work tomorrow, if my package got here, I bought a new mask. I'll give you a hint, Dev. Look in the camera and tell me if you can figure out who it is. I bought the Pentagon mask, dude. I got the mask. It looks like Pentagon shit. Anyways, so I agree with you guys on that with the ladder match. Like, it was real clunky to me. That being said, let's get into these predictions real quick. So match by match, we got to see who won. So Ken had Ken, you picked – did you pick Private Party or Best Friends in that one?
Best Friends.
Okay, so we all had Best Friends in the first one. Second match,
no, I had Private Party.
Oh, you okay? You had Private Party. I knew.
I knew they were going to lose, but I picked them anyway. I picked them on heart. All right,
so that's a point apiece for me and Ken. What was the next match straight up?
Which one?
I don't know what the hell that was. He's got the seagulls out there by him, dude. Oh shit!
Who got
pretty much.
So, do we know who won the predictions video?
I thought you had the paperwork for that.
That's why I'm going over it. That's I said. Let's go match by match. So Ken and I had Best Friends. Second match, first match on the card was what again?
The ladder match.
Ladder match. So yeah. None of us got that. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look for the picks, because I don't have it right in front of me. I just got home from work. So, you know.
All right, but let's
jump into this. What'd you say? I know I missed quite a few.
He said I missed quite a few. We're going to go back and get the full scorecard and let you know who we had with that one.
But why are you grabbing that, man? Let's talk about that pre-show match, man, since we know that one.
Sure.
So Ken, what did you think about Private Party versus the Best Friends, since you actually got that one right and I didn't?
It was a good match, as I expected. Like, Private Party, they can go, but it's just, you know, they got to get a little more seasoning on them. You know what I'm saying? But the kids can go. Like, they, when they first, when they debuted, I was like, they stole a gem from the Indies with that one. So I'm just glad to see them get some run. You know what I'm saying? I thought they started to get, kind of get forgotten about a little bit. So I'm just glad, you know, glad they got on TV and got to show what they can do.
I agree. I'm definitely friends of them. I mean, I'm fans of them. I got to see them a little bit when they announced they were signing with AEW. I went and did like a little deep dive on them on the internet, and I was amazed by some of the stuff that they were doing, man. So definitely a team that I have on my radar. I'm looking forward to bigger and better things for them later on this year. They didn't get the job done this time, but I'm pretty sure later on this year or maybe next year they'll be in that tag team title hunt.
So for me, man, like, Dev, you just cut out. I can't hear anything you're saying.
Yes, I'm talking.
All right, cool. Anyways, my bad. There was a lag on my screen. Like on my screen, he was talking, and then it was like, if you put it into slow-mo on your camera real quick, it was like, bruh. Oh. Anyways, so for me, man, I feel like best friends have really been on a come up for a while. Like, I've been saying this for a minute, whether it be Trent having his match with, you know, Trent having his singles matches that he's had with Kenny Omega, or take your pick. I mean, he had that run for a few weeks when they weren't running the tags together where he had a great run of singles matches. And I mean, I feel like they've been an underrated team for a while. Another team that we got the opportunity to interview out in Chicago. So I feel like they're going to be a team that's going to be getting pushed up towards the tag titles, man. I don't know if they're going to be the ones to take it off Hangman and Kenny Omega, but that's somebody that I could really, I could really see them being a cornerstone. And as far as Private Party, I love to watch them as well, man. They're, you know, they're a real young team, like you said, a lot of fun, high flying offense. I'm interested to see what happens when they get put into like a full story. Who's it going to be against, and how, you know, I've not really seen much of them as far as storyline stuff, like a long-term storyline or even a few week storyline yet. So I'm interested to see how they do and something like that. So all in all, I thought it was a good way to start the show for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Dev, what'd you think about the second match?
Well, we kind of talked about it a little bit. The ladder match was next. Like I said, it was a little clunky in different places. The star of the match wasn't in the match, Rey Fénix. Brian Cage was a decent surprise. But I will say, I know I've been a little bit negative, but I will say the spot where I think it was Joey Janela dumped Cashley on top of that poker chip.
Yeah,
that spot, man, I was like, wow, that takes a lot of bravery just to lay up under all that stuff and have a guy, you know, slam another guy on top of you, man. So it was some good parts of the match, man, but I thought it was a little clunky.
So how is the Janela spot out of that whole match the one that you think of? What about Darby Allin doing an acid drop off the top of a ladder, dude? Darby Allin did a damn ass to drop off the top of a ladder through another ladder and looked like he exploded his knee. Like,
yeah, that was my spot in there.
I mean, so for me, man, it's like there were a lot of good spots. It just kind of seemed all over the place for me. That's just, I don't know. That's me personally.
What about you, Ken? What was your thoughts on the ladder match?
I mean, like I said, I do agree it was clunky. Like I said, my spot was the Janela spot, but I don't know. I just kind of still, even though AEW is financially backed by a billionaire and we got Cody and the Bucks as EPs, I still look at them as they're still in a growing phase. We have us with ladder matches as fans, has been fans for, at this point, decades. We're spoiled. Like, we didn't, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we know what a 5-star, 10-star, 20-star ladder match can be. So right. I still look at AEW's going through growing pains. So for what it was good. Is it like on the, should it be like on the best ladder match DVD set of all ladder matches in the world? Heck no. But for what it was good.
Okay. All right, Ken, well, we're going to let you go first on this one. What were your thoughts on the third match we had on this card?
What was the third match? I can't remember the match order.
That was, I believe it was MJF versus...
Yeah, that was MJF Jungle Boy. To me, this is a match that stole the show, quite frankly.
That took the words right out of my mouth. Like, that match blew past my expectations. Like, they told a good story. They showed... No, like I said, they really just got to go. Jungle Boy has cemented himself as a guy you can give that, you know, give some time with and run with it in it. That's kind of my big takeaway. Jungle Boy showed he can, I'm ready for it.
See, so for me, honestly, even before this match happened, I was already looking forward to this match, quite frankly. I feel like we've seen a lot out of Jungle Boy in the matches that he has gotten to have. Obviously, like in the big spots like he had with Chris Jericho, where they did the, what was it, if he can last 10 minutes or whatever it is. And then, you know, he had a few of them. And MJF, man, to me, is bar none one of the best heels in the business right now. I mean, I feel like there's not even an argument to be made as far as that goes. Because, dude, like... It's just the little jabs, like going in and trying to screw with Marco Stunt in his match. Or like, you know, I mean, the guy just plays a wrestling heel the way it should be. And I mean, he lives it out. Like when you see the man in person, like he's not like, you know, Mr. Cool, let's kick it, whatever. You know, like it's not, what you see is what you get, basically. So, for me, I thought this was the match that kind of stole the show for me. Dev, what about you?
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, just the best matches and not including the Stadium Stampede, I thought this was the best match of the night from beginning to end. It was one spot, man, that I had never seen before where they ended up locking their legs together with upside down on their heads, like slapping each other. And I'm like,
that's a reverse Rana.
Huh?
That's a reverse Rana. You've seen it before. I just don't know. I've seen it on the apron.
Well, I've never seen it before, and I've never seen them do it when they start slapping each other in the face. And then when they transitioned out of the Jungle Boy, you know, got slapped, and he just started landing elbows and got in the top control like it was an MMA move. But not only was it an outrageous move, but he just made it realistic, which was great on my part. So I thought this was the best pure match of the night.
Ken's learning what I learned on the Zoom call, and that when you put the picture behind it, if you're not like a little bit away from the background, it looks like Ken's like messing with an episode of The Flash right now. yeah, man. I mean, that was by far one of my favorite matches on the card. Like I said, for me, it was one of the highlights. I got, right before we went live, a friend of mine, Dom, who I was actually watching AEW Revolution with, brought up a good point, and that'll bring us into another one of the matches that was on the card. There's a lot to unpack in this one, so I'm going to talk about the TNT title match between Cody and Lance Archer with Jake the Snake in his corner and the great AA Arn Anderson in Cody's corner. First, let's talk about the match and your thoughts about the match, and what did you think about Tyson's involvement in it? Ken, what about you?
It was a good match. I didn't care for Cody winning. So I feel like it kind of undid the build with the Archer to an extent. I guess it was – I'm not going to say I'm indifferent on it, but so overall, it was still a good match. I just felt the wrong person won. And okay. Then plus Arn trying to get cheated in the match was just hilarious.
I love how they all of a sudden make it like Arn Anderson, of all people, doesn't know how to cheat.
Right, like this dude's a horseman.
That's going to go into the point that I got to hear your guys' opinions on here. So that... Dev, what about you? Because I got to go into that other point, so I'll let you get yours out first.
The match was okay. that title looks fucking horrible. And then they start using this excuse. They use this excuse that it wasn't done because of Corona. Like, dude, y'all couldn't find somebody to put the belt together in time for the pay per view. Like, y'all knew about this tournament for a while. It's been like over what, a month and a half? They announced
it. Yeah, I must say it's been at least a half, month and a half. Yeah.
And you couldn't get anybody. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, that looks like something you get off of like championshipbelts.com that you get your mother for like Mother's Day that says best mom in the world or something like that. Like, I could have designed that belt. And I'm like, and then they said it wasn't finished. And I'm like, that's a bad look, man. Because look, as much as, you know, people don't want to say you're in competition with WWE, you are. And yeah. WWE, as much as I have my problems with them, I know one thing. If they are debuting a new belt, no matter what, that belt's getting done before pay-per-view. So I thought that was a bad look on the company by presenting that belt. And then Mike Tyson started falling asleep during the match. That wasn't a good look.
they should have – whoever was, like, controlling the cameras in the back should have known better. Like, so I'm sure you can see what the camera's looking at before you switch the toggle. Like, somebody should have known better.
Right. I mean, they got out of it quickly, but – I thought that was a bad look. And one thing I didn't understand is why wasn't Brandy out there? Brandy was an essential part of the story, you know, basically with old ass Jake the Snake dry humping her in the middle of the ring. It was a big part of the story. So I'm like, why isn't she out here for this match? I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what it would have added, but I just felt like because she was a big part of the buildup for it, I felt she should have been out there too. Kyle?
All right. So, first of all, before I even talk about the match, Mike Tyson looked like a fucking savage. Just saying.
Oh, we already knew that.
I'm just saying. Because when he got no boy's face like that when he got in the ring, I'm like, damn, all right, Mike. Like,
we saw Mike hitting the pass, man. We saw him hitting the pass. Come on, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, you can see it in our video for the predictions. I put clips of that in there as well.
I'm not fighting that old man. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. Look here. Okay. Quick sidebar. So the rumored fight for him seems like it's going to be Evander Holyfield. I've also heard Tibor Ortiz as well. So if Mike Tyson fights Evander Holyfield, since it's a charity fight and an exhibition fight, does Mike Tyson try to kill him?
Yeah.
Or does he just try to box him?
Nah.
I don't think
he's coming for the face.
Kind of what I figured. And as far as Tito goes, I don't think Tito really wants that smoke, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was about to say, man. I thought that was the fight that was supposed to be it was working out bare knuckle with Tito and Mike.
Dude, Tito would die. I didn't know it was bare knuckle.
Expedition.
Yeah, it's supposed to be bare knuckle.
Well, if it's bare knuckled, Tito's even more screwed.
Right, you Tyson bare knuckle? Are you fucking? I mean, excuse me, I know this podcast.
I heard no, it's not Tito. No, never mind, Dev. You're mistaken. It wasn't Tito supposed to be bare knuckle. It was supposed to be Vanderlei bare knuckle.
Even still, who wants to fight Tyson bare knuckle?
Vanderlei's crazy. Tito would just get destroyed. Not that Vanderlei wouldn't, but Vanderlei wouldn't care. But
don't fight that man. You don't need that old man alone.
I sidebarred enough off of it. First of all, I agree with you 100% that title looked horrible. I don't care what they say as far as it not being able to be done in time or whatever. That belt looked bad, period. Because that belt looks like the literal redheaded stepchild when you see their world heavy belt weight belt. It's like, this belt looks like the shit. This one looks like something you buy at Target. I mean... But we'll see. What up, John? I see you in there, man. But I don't know. The match itself, I didn't think the match was bad. The interaction between Jake and Arn was kind of a little off for me. Like, I mean, it just kind of seemed like you guys said, it kind of seemed a little bit weird. I liked Tyson's involvement, at least when he was in the match, but I definitely agree when dude was kind of starting to nod off, like that was definitely not a time to put him on the camera. But again, I think that goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show, in that it's like, I feel like there's still a lot of growing pains with AEW.
Yeah.
I feel like they, you know, they're kind of figuring out what works, what doesn't, and clearly I would assume that they would have figured out that maybe that might not have been the best look. The match itself, I'm not mad that Cody won because a lot of people are saying, oh, he's always putting himself over. I disagree with that because if that were the case, then why would he have put himself in a match against Jericho where when he lost, now he can't go with the world title at all? Granted, it's wrestling, and that can always change. But in a way, I almost kind of felt like Cody needed to win this match more than Lance Archer did just for the fact that I feel like Cody needed to restore his spot kind of in the top of the pecking order. I mean, because with him losing that with the world title and not having anything to really challenge after at this point, I feel like he kind of needed to win it. Although I do understand the point with what you're saying with Lance Archer. I do think, you know, they got to find a way to keep him strong. So I don't really know where they go with it from there, but I'm not so mad that Cody won. I think Cody needed to get, you know, a big win to kind of restore his credibility. But this brings me to the other point that was brought up to me by my buddy Dom, and I want to hear both of your thoughts. So, as we know, they've got Arn as the head coach for Cody. Anyone that knows their old school wrestling knows that Arn is part of the Four Horsemen, which was the archenemy of Dusty Rhodes. My buddy Dom was bringing up to me, he was like, you know, for the nostalgia fact, I get what you're saying, but he was like, you know, why out of all people that you could pick, would you pick Arn to be the one with Cody, with him being such a known adversary for Dusty? My thoughts are, what are your thoughts of Arn being paired with Cody? And do you think it should have been somebody else? If so, who? Whoever wants to go first, I guess you can go first.
I would say, I guess maybe because more or less they went from the real life aspect of it, that Arn's a family friend. Maybe that was the thinking of it. That's one thing that kind of makes sense, but that point that was made makes more sense now when you think about it, though. Four Horsemen. Four Men, it does. Broke his arm. And everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it makes... I never thought about it from that angle, so it kind of just messed me up with that one.
See, when he brought it up to me and really put it to me, I was like, damn, you know, I really liked it at first, but I can't even argue his point. So, Dev, what about you? What are your thoughts? And then I'll tell you what my retort is to it.
Yeah, that's actually something I thought about when they first did it, but, you know, it's been a while now, so I just kind of forgot about it. But I say if you were to put somebody with him, I probably say the best person is DDP, since he, you know, kind of started off that way anyway. When they were doing the whole battle with, you know, MJF and DDP and Cody against the Inner Circle and stuff like that. So I would say DDP would probably have been the better choice.
So that was my retort as, you know, who else could have been it, because that was the only other name that really kind of like came to mind for me on this one. But here's the thing, man. Like, as we know, it's not like Dusty had like this long list of allies that you could pick from as far as like just go down the list of people for, you know, to put with Cody. But that being said, you know, you've also got, you know, I mean, you've got that nostalgia factor, which was what I argued to him. I said, you know, you can go with the fact that everybody knows they were really close. And since kayfabe is clearly not really a thing anymore, you know, I mean, it's not like you've really got to kind of hide that. I don't really know who else you would have put with Cody. I will say, you know, another point that Dom brought up was that, you know, Cody, you know, cuts good promos and is one of the best baby faces in the business right now. You know, he doesn't need a mouthpiece. I also agree with that as well. Do you think this is something to where down the road maybe AA turns on him? Or how do you guys really see this playing out?
Now, that I can see. Because I know Tully's not around for whatever reason, but you got two of the four. You're obviously not going to get Rick ever. I mean, so, like I said, having two of the four there, it kind of makes sense for it to happen at some point. I feel like it's got to happen. That was when the guy did say, like, somehow this is not going to last.
Right. All right, Deb, what do you think?
JR said it best. Like, the most powerful weapon in professional wrestling is the eraser. You can always change it. You can always go too bad. You can always come up with a different way to get out of it. And I think that would be like the perfect way to do it, have double A turn on Cody if you want to get out of it.
I mean, do you think we see him turn on him? Or do you think it's something that just eventually kind of fizzles out, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to get out of that storyline. Is if they want to move on from Arn Anderson being his manager, have him turn on him.
So I've got an idea as far as that goes, but I don't know if they'll do it, and it also kind of lead into another question about another match on this card. What are your – I mean, so you just mentioned Tully. We had Sean Spears versus Dustin Rhodes as well on this card.
Wait, can I get mine out of the way?
What?
Can I get my thoughts out of the way so y'all can have time?
Go ahead.
It was a fucking waste of time. I don't want nothing to do with this match.
Damn, well, tell me how you really feel.
That's all I got to say.
All right. My thought with it and where I was going with what I was saying is, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, we haven't seen Tully around. And to be honest, like Deb and I have talked about off air, you know, about the whole situation with Lance Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts. I feel like the weeks that, you know, Jake was gone at first, I was worried if it was kind of hurt the pairing for them two. Because, you know, you're building him up as Jake being this mouthpiece and not having him there, you know, kind of killed some of it. The same can be said at this point as far as Sean Spears goes, because Tully hasn't been out there with him in a while, and Sean hasn't even really mentioned him. Where do you guys see that going with him first? And, you know, long shot here, but do you think that we could see, you know, somewhere down the line, you know, maybe Arn is the guy that comes with whoever's going to be with him, and Arn and Tully are with these guys, you know, as a tag team, since they're saying that Tully thinks the money's in tag team wrestling?
I think eventually this could be a very long-term storyline playing out in front of us. This Cody and Sean thing is not done. It's not. I just don't see them. He still haunts up the chairman of the board. He's chairman because he cracked Cody's skull, literally. he's still using that persona. He got a Four Horsemen connection. Horsemen don't like roses. Okay, Fade. So I think it could eventually lead to, like, it was a long-term play the whole time.
Do you think Tully not being with him hurts it, though? Right now?
Yeah, I think somehow they got to explain. But that could be, like I said, it could just be because of COVID.
That's what I assume it is.
I'm going to stay home with my face mask, and I'll catch y'all later. So I think if that it happened, I think maybe that could be another reason why this hasn't got further, is because Tully isn't there. So that could be part of it, but I think eventually it's going to circle back to Sean going after Cody, especially now if he's a champion. And one of the big things about, you know, when he was in, you know, when Sean was in NXT and Ty Dillinger and on the main roster, that was one of the big things. They never allowed him to get anything. Any kind of championships, he never really did anything to be as good as he is. So I can see that being the bigger double cross that's coming. Somehow he gets like a TNT type championship match, and then that's where it happens. How soon, I don't know. But I think that's eventually the end game to me.
All right, Deb, what are your thoughts on that idea? And what are your thoughts on, you know, that thing as a whole?
That match was a waste of time, and I want nothing to fucking do with it. Your turn. Dude, it was literally a waste of time. It did nothing for Sean, in my opinion. It did nothing for Dustin. To me, it was just a waste of time.
I got nothing. For me, man, like, straight up, it's I don't know, man. I think it hurts them. I think that could work down the road, but, I mean, it is a little weird, you know, since you built that up as, like, being, like, they're going to be a unit and doing the whole thing with it. But I think – and that brings me to a point. Do you think – I mean, Dev, I know you're not watching WWE, so I'll pose this question to you, Ken. Do you think that I forgot who said it. I think it might have been Bubba Ray. But he was like, you know, at this point, I feel like you kind of almost have to take the next couple months with there being no fans and kind of the restrictions due to COVID and kind of like erase them from your mind once this all gets out the way, because all of them are doing the best they can with what they got. What are your thoughts on
that? Right. I didn't quite catch like the first part of the question.
So the question, what he was saying, my question is, do you agree with what he's saying that things are a little different and off because of COVID that you can't really kind of hold them to task right now?
I mean, yeah. I mean, COVID is throwing off a lot of it. Like, I just feel everybody's doing the best that they can in general, both sides. You know, AEW and WWE, I mean, TNA too. Like, they're all just doing what they can, given the circumstances. Like, I was on Raw, I was like, even though I made fun of the hockey glass, at least I was happy to get some cheering and some booing and stuff like that. Like, it's that's part of wrestling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we grew up on pops. Like, can you imagine, like, say, when AJ Styles debuted Royal Rumble and it was dead silence, for example.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree.
Cena coming back at that 2008 Royal Rumble at number 30 in Madison Square Garden.
And no one's silent. There. I want to say it was Conrad Thompson that said this, and I thought it was like it was a great point. He's like, think about 5 years from now, and you know WWE are gonna run. They always run, you know, highlights from all the WrestleManias. Basically, they are not gonna be able to use any of that footage from this year's WrestleMania to any like highlight package.
Yeah,
maybe the Boneyard match, maybe the Firefly Funhouse. Other than that,
you basically that was where I heard it. Right there, that was where I heard it. Because past guest of the show, Eric Bischoff, said it on his review of last year's Double or Nothing. Like, he was the one that said it. He was like, I feel like the next few months of wrestling kind of need to be
forgotten about.
Because, I mean, they're all kind of doing the best they can with what they got. But since we've got short time left, let's get back to the last couple big matches that we had on this card. What were your overall thoughts on Jon Moxley versus Brody Lee?
I got no complaints, honestly. I mean, it was a good match. I was just happy to see, like, Brody Lee in that spotlight he should have had previously from previous employer. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, he's one of the best big men in the business, and it was good to see him get that shine. You know what I'm saying? But it was a good, solid match. They did what they did. The spot they did with the stage, I didn't see that coming. So, you know what I'm saying? It was a good match. I was 50-50 on the booking on that one. Like, I would have been happy no matter who won.
All right, Dev, what about you?
Yeah, that spot on the stage, man, that took me back to ECW days when Taz and Bam Bam went through.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. Taz has something to do with that one. And it's funny, I went back and watched the pay-per-view, and whenever stuff like that happens, I try to, you know, figure out the trick and figure out when they switched out. And I'm thinking it happened after Brody Lee came to the ring, when Moxie was coming down to the ring. They kind of stayed on Moxie for a while. I think the camera was stayed on Moxie for a little while so they could do their magic, but that's too inside. But it was a good match. I still felt kind of, you know, blah about it. Once again, it might be because of the crowd not being there, but it was a good match. I thought it was a really good match.
So I enjoyed the match. I thought it was done well. I really think the no crowd thing, I mean, obviously it's hurting everybody. So again, this isn't a knock at AEW. This, I feel like, is wrestling as a whole. I feel like the no crowd really kind of hurt it, especially with the big spots. Because think about it, dude. If you're in an arena and Like, when Moxley did the spot off the stage where he put Kenny through the barbed wire thing, bro. Ding, ding, Devin. I was there. Motherfuckers went nuts. Like, straight up went nuts. When he did that shit at Full Gear and took him off the side of the stage, people went nuts. I feel like with that double arm DDT spot, obviously the crowd would have been going insane. The same as when they went through the ring table. I think that would have been another spot where you'd have had a lot of emotion from the crowd. So I feel like that kind of hurt the match. At the same time, though, I thought it was an overall good match. I think it did a good job of showing Brody Lee and what he's able to do as a single. And I think it still keeps him strong as showing that he was a legitimate threat to Moxley. But I think the right person won. I think you're going to have a big name or somebody that's really up to be an up-and-comer to be the one to take Brian the belt Cage. Off of Moxley. I'm not mad at that at all.
It cannot be Brian Cage. I'm not with it.
Well, you know he's going to get the title eventually, man. That shit's going to end up being like the Money in the Bank.
I know, but I'm just... I got a warm-up set of ideas.
Wait, real quick. Something I forgot to bring up before we get to this last match. To me, the MVP and the unsung hero of the entire show, Big Swole. I don't know if you was paying attention.
Oh my God, yes, bro.
She was talking so much shit the whole time.
Dude, when she got in Archer's face, though, bro, it was awesome.
I thought she was about to say, who the fuck?
She did.
She did, yeah.
She was about to jump on Nyla Rose at one point when she threw that poker table.
You break it up.
Yeah. Dude, Big Swole was like the unsung hero of the whole show, man.
Hey, I think JR said it best, man. I mean, AEW kind of having...
I agree.
I mean, JR really said it best, dude. Having the couple rows of fans, the wrestlers in there and the people they did have in there, I think it puts in a good touch. Obviously, WWE's taking heat of it because I saw something today saying that they're going to have fans. I didn't catch Raw last night because I was working on Memorial Day, but...
Obviously about that they had like the hockey glass up or something like that with the wrestlers or something like that.
I don't know. Can you? I think didn't you watch it last night?
Yeah, Raw. Yeah.
What did you think of the hockey glass with the fans?
At first, I mocked it. I was like, because I was like, is that glass? Is it not glass? And I was like, are they the Little Caesars Arena? What the hell's going on? But when you got past it and started to hear like crowds, there was a lot more crowd noise than AEW has because it's more people. Because it looks like they had 10 or 15 people in like each little section around the ring.
Right.
So it was a lot more crowd noise. You got to see their reactions to certain things. It was just, it felt different. Even though it was like the AEW idea, it felt different. You know what I'm saying? So, my own thing is, I think they need to take down the hockey glass from the parts like beating to the ramp because they reflect like the glare. When they would do certain shots, the glare was just dumb. So if they probably can take it down from there. But other than that, I rock with it. You know what I'm saying? After I got done laughing at the hockey glass, I rock with it. I'm just waiting on, I was telling somebody on Facebook the over under before somebody gets thrown through it. And I said, I'm going to give it to the go-home show to SummerSlam to somebody to go through it. McIntyre's going to claymore somebody through that glass. It's coming.
Yeah. I could see that happening. All right, so let's get to the Stadium Stampede real quick. I'll go first on this one. Overall, I'm not going to lie. When the match first started, I'm like, man, this shit's kind of corny, man. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this because, like, the way it started, I'm like, man, I could see this just being, like, overly campy and, like, taking me out of it. But I got to say, as it went on, it warmed up on me. And first of all, shout out to AEW for having the balls to do the Matt Hardy spot.
Yeah,
Matt Fett.
They did that after WWE just did that. Like, how long ago was that? Where, like, all three things of Matt Hardy came out. Like, the fact that you did that and didn't give a shit, kudos to you. I really enjoyed that. And, oh, my God, Ortiz be acting like he can't swim in 3 feet of water, bro. I can't swim.
No, they broke out the net facts. I was done.
I mean, like I said, it was entertaining as hell. But can we just say, how the hell is Sammy Guevara even alive?
He's okay. MVP.
I mean, like every match I see him in where he's like Jericho's tag partner, it's almost like Jericho said, look, you're young. You're going to be the crash dummy, and I'm going to swoop in and pin him after you get your ass kicked. Because every time he's taking a crazy bump, and he took an insane finish at the end with Kenny Omega, which it was dope, but I always am a little bit on those things just because I hate that there's always like the – if you can see like it's a built box for him to go through.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I always hated that. I hated it when WWF did it. It always looked great, but I hate when you can tell it's just something random. The fact that it was in a walkway, I'm like, yeah, because that was just there.
Yeah.
Ken, what did you think about the match?
MVP of that match. Sammy Guevara and that horse. Hangman's horse. And stuff like that is what made the match for me, though. Like, the little one-off stuff is what made the match. Matt changing his personas underwater. The fact that Ortiz read the Matt facts. You know what I'm saying? During the match, they read it. Stuff like that. Like, that's what made the match. That's what made it good. The 100-yard German suplexes. The little quirky stuff amongst the action is what made it. Like, it was a good balance of the quirky comedy stuff and the wrestling. They to me, that was the best out of the cinematic matches that's happened so far. That was the best one by far.
All right. What about you?
I'll just touch on two things. One, and I'm pretty sure JR has something to do with this because he's a big fan of John Wayne and Westerns. The bar scene with Hager and Hangman was great, where he's like, hey, did you come here to drink or to fight? And then he threw him. Threw him across the bar and hit him over the back with a pool cue. I thought that was great. And at the end, after the Young Bucks laid out Jericho, Hangman comes in with the chalk machine and just drives right over Jericho, man, and left the line on him. I thought that was amazing
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, man, I thought it was really good, man.
I mean, I really enjoyed it, man. But the question is, like, do you think that? Like, although I think it finally gave Hangman that character, do you think that, like, all the campy stuff with the drinking, like, do you think they need to eventually shed that so that he'll have that, you know, seriousness to him, I guess?
No. To me, it still fits. Like, Hangman can be an alcoholic and go out there and give you...
I mean, look at Stone Cold.
Exactly. I mean, you know, like I said, he go out there... and have a shot of whiskey, like a whiskey bottle and a shot glass in his corner, and go out there and give you a 5-star match, and it wouldn't deter it. Because he's just that good.
He's a cowboy, man. That's what they do, man. They fight and drink.
They do cowboy shit.
Exactly.
Hey,
as long as he got his horse, I'm good with it.
Before we get out of here, we only got like 4 minutes left, man. Ken, I got to ask you the question, man.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen with Sundays, man?
Big Rich gotta say we can go outside.
Dude, like, Dev, you've been gone a while. Like, the government, like, over here, she's, like, legit I know. Her own song and all this shit. Like, they fucking...
I know they got y'all shut down up there, man, but I'm assuming once everything does kind of start to get back to normal, we're bringing it back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting on Big Rich to say it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I can't cross Big Rich.
Hey, for the people that don't know what we're talking about, man, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know what we're talking about?
So I run an open mic platform called Sound Off Sundays. Follow it on Instagram, Sound Off Sundays Open Mic. Play a lot of Detroit talent, artists, rappers, poets, comedians. Dev's been there a couple times. You already know it's a vibe. You know what I'm saying? It's a good time on Sunday nights. So we're looking at probably right now, my targeted date is June 14th, pending Big Rich.
Yeah, next time I'm up there, man, I got to come for one, man. And one of these days, I'm going to actually do a poem, man. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'm not the best poet, but I'm going to do something, man.
Fuck that. Dev, we got to bring back our version of Sacrifice, bro.
karaoke.
Ken, do you know about that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh. So since this is going to be on YouTube, for all of you that watch this on YouTube, check out the description. Devin and I's rendition of Creed's My Sacrifice will be in the description, along with interviews from Hangman Page, like we just talked about, MJF, Nyla Rose, all of them. All of the stars of AEW that we've gotten interviewed will be in there. But the hidden gem is going to be, you got to see me and Devin kill it. Right before Devin decided to leave and go be a Texan, we went and sang My Sacrifice, and man, did it suck. But it's entertaining.
Whoa. I was
drunk. You liar. You just tried to sit out and let me look like a jackass because we were drinking.
All right. It was your song. I was letting you shine.
You liar, dude. You were the one. You were like, bro, are you going to sing one with me? I was like, yeah, I'll sing with you. And then we get going. And this jackass lays out. Yeah. I'm like, wow, we look like a bunch of dickheads right now.
definitely looking forward to.
It was entertaining. There will definitely have to be a round two when you come back to Detroit, and it might find its way to our YouTube page. So stay tuned and make sure you hit that subscribe button. Like I said, plenty of interviews with all the stars of AEW and DDP, who we talked about too. You can find that too. As Deb said, we're wrapping up here. Follow us on all our social media at KO3C Pod. Make sure you're checking us out. Knockouts and Three Counts on YouTube. KO3CPod.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, Detroit NOKOUT. And if you guys watch this after the live video and you have your thoughts on it, comment them in there. Let us know what you think. If you're watching it on YouTube, make sure you comment it on there. We answered all our comments. And again, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Dev, any last words before we get the hell out of here?
Nope. Follow me on Twitter at Devin63, DevinToT63. Follow me on Instagram, AllStakeNoSizzle. Join the Reality Era News group. And Ken, throw out all your social media and the name of the group you got on Facebook too, man. It's pretty much a lot of the same people.
Ken Brass, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, BrassHall81. Again, don't be sensitive. Follow me because I post crazy stuff and I laugh at you. Y'all be safe. Wash your hands. And quit spreading stuff so big wrestling letters come outside.
And throw out the name of the Facebook group too, man.
Oh, Signed Off Sundays, open mic. You can find it on Facebook and on Instagram as well. All that good stuff. And it'll be in the comments and all this stuff. I'll tag it in the comments and everything too.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Mr. Collison, go ahead and wrap it up, sir.
I think you done said it. I flap my gums enough. Make sure you check us out every Tuesday, 9 p.m. And be on the lookout. You got UFC Fight Night this Saturday. You got Tyrone Woodley against Burns. We're going to be putting out a prediction video for that as well. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you check it out. Until next time and in between time, wash your hands.